and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we continue our series of comedy shows with Duffy's Tavern. The first half-hour show is the audition show, first broadcast in the spring of 1941 on the CBS Forecast series, which auditioned new programs. Ed Gardner created the series and played Archie, the manager of Duffy's Tavern. The owner is never there, but his daughter, Miss Duffy, hangs around trying to find romance. Miss Duffy was played perfectly by Shirley Booth, who was then married to Ed Gardner. This is the first Duffy's Tavern on Forecast Audition, first broadcast July 29th, 1940 on CBS.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat. Special today, pig pickle feet. Archie speaking, Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, must be 3 or 4 customers here already. You hear that, Duffy? You're in business again. Listen, Duffy, you picked out a very bad time to call up. Yeah, we're just going to go on the air for a broadcast. Now, wait a minute, Duffy. Don't get all excited. It ain't costing a cent. No, the network's doing it for prestige. Well, now, Duffy, I can't brandy words with you now. We're just going on the air, I'm telling you. Goodbye, Duffy. I'll see you later.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mel Allen. Forecast invites you to join us for a decidedly informal evening at Duffy's Tavern, where anyone under the sun is likely to drop in any time to talk things over with Archie. Almost anyone may drop in tonight. Now, people we're sure will be around, however, are Gertrude Neeson, Colonel Stupnagel, Larry Adler, and John Kirby's orchestra. And now I turn you over to that past master of ceremonies, Archie.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the voice of Duffy's Tavern speaking, formerly Duffy's Bar and Grill, and still owned by the same proprietorship. And we take great pride in presenting them great musicians, John Kirby and his high schoolians. They offer their own version of Royal Garden Blues. You will note that in the second chorus, the piccolo player hits a note so high that it can only be heard by a dog. Mr. Kirby. Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat the special today, pig's pickle feet. Oh, hello, boss. Hey, how'd you like Kirby's band? They what? Duffy, they do not. Well, I see what you mean.
What is it, Archie?
It's Duffy, Mr. Kirby. He says he thinks the band is great. All right, Tuffy, I know. I can't tell a guy that, though. You don't understand orders, Tuffy. You know, they're much more sensible than you and me. You gotta tolerate them. Ah, but Duffy, you haven't liked nothing since Chauncey Old Cut cracked up on Mother McCree. You're living in a graveyard full of Irish tenants. Wait a minute, Duffy. Gertrude Neeson, the new floor show just walked in. What? All right, I'll tell her. I'll speak to you later. Good evening, Miss Neeson.
Hi, Archie.
Say, Miss Neeson, I hate to, I hate to bury sleeping dogs, but Duffy has been complaining about you.
Oh, what's old Novocaine brain squawking about now?
Well, he claims you insulted his best customer, Mr. Feldever K. Beldorf. Was you out to dinner with Beldorf last night?
Yes, and I'll never go out with that crumb again.
Huh?
You know what happened? He asked me to go out to dinner last night, so I go with him. Well, you know how I never like a strange man to pay for my meals.
Yeah, I know.
So I said to him, Mr. Beldorf, I insist that this dinner should be Dutch. But he said he absolutely wouldn't hear of it.
Well, that's nice.
He said I had to pay for him, too.
That's Beldorf. So what did you do?
Oh, I did what any lady would do. I broke a plate over his head.
What else could you do?
Well, frankly, as man to man, do you think that breaking a plate of soup over a guy's head should be construed as an insult?
No, but Beldorf's a little hypersensitive. Don't like those things. I'll explain it to Duffy, though. By the way, Duffy ain't never heard them golden tones of yours, Miss Neeson. You know, I've told him about you being a great star at the movies and the radio, and when I mentioned that you have been on the stage, he says he had one request.
Look, Archie, even to please Duffy, I will not recite Casey at the Bat.
Well, all right, then. But would you mind rendering the customers with a song?
All right, I'll do something especially for Mr. Duffy. Does he rumba?
An amusing question, Miss Neeson. Proceed ahead.
Bailar con la rumba negra, marina de
Roma. Get a little knowledge, quite good. Maybe it won't help you, but it should. You cannot travel unless you know how not to say yes. That inspirational, so sensational, oh, sensational, yes. In Spain they say, si, si. In France they say, oui, oui. Every little Dutch girl says, yeah, yeah. Every little Russian says, da, da. Well, sweetheart, tell me why. No matter how I try. You listen to my plea, won't say yes in any language to me. Why don't you say, sissy? All the monkeys in the tree, they don't have to say, sissy. All they do is wag their little tails. That's a little gag that never fails. But, sweetheart, tell me why. No matter how I try. You won't listen to my plea. You won't say yes in any language to me. Why don't you say, D.C.? Or maybe you say, baby, why don't you say, baby?
Excuse me. Good evening. Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat today's special pig's pickle feed. Archie speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, it's you again, Duffy. Say, Duffy, do I have to say that poem you made up every time I answer the phone? All right, I'll say it. Only we're going to be in trouble when a specialist corned beef hash. Say, by the way, what did you think of Gertrude Neeson singing? What? Well, gee, Duffy, some people like her. What? A little more pizzicato. All right, I'll tell her. He says you should have sang louder, Miss Neeson.
Let me have that phone. So, you didn't like my singing, Mr. Duffy. And you're the greatest living authority on Irish tenors. You call what you're doing living? Oh, so your wife says a girl who sings like I do would smoke cigarettes. Listen, you crummy old broken-down barfly, you miserable, no-good, four-flushing... What? Yes, you can call me Gertrude. And furthermore, lame brain, if I had the wings of an angel, I'd beat your brains out with them. Goodbye.
Hello, Duffy. What's new? Ah, Duffy, you and your Irish tenors. Wait a minute, Jake. Colonel Stoopnagel just come in there. Good evening, Colonel.
Harding, Screechy.
Oh. Well, how are you tonight, Colonel?
Oh, I'm in pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. That is, considering my shape.
Well, that's pretty good. Have a cigar, Colonel?
Yes, I have.
Thanks. I'll be right with you, Colonel. Have a seat. Hello, Duffy. The Colonel's got a look in his eye like a $3 porterhouse. If I play my cards right, maybe I can sell him a slice off of that Kansas City steer you've been saving for inflation. Well, listen, Duffy, that steer ain't getting no younger. Okay, see you later. Well, Colonel, you sure are a sight to give a person sore eyes. Here, let me take your hat and shotgun. Been to a wedding?
Huh?
Been to a wedding?
No, actually, I've been hunting ducks.
Hey, Nimrod, would you mind not pointing that shotgun at my head? I just had my hair done.
Pardon me, madam, but you don't have to be afraid of this fowling piece, unless you happen to be a duck.
Well, she don't happen to be no duck, Colonel. She happens to be a canary. Colonel Stoopnagel, this is Chantouf, Miss Gertrude Neeson.
How do you do? I'm sure.
Well, I haven't seen you in a long time. You're putting on quite a front suit, Nagel.
Better give me that foul piece, Colonel, and I'll put it out of harm's way.
Hey, careful of that, Archie. That's no ordinary shotgun.
It ain't, huh?
It's what I call a sawed-on shotgun.
Oh.
You will also observe that it's made with one barrel on top of the other instead of side by side. It's for shooting ducks who happen to be riding piggyback.
That's certainly a very clever blundering bust, Colonel.
Blundering bust. Oh, yes. And here's another startling feature about it. One barrel is loaded with bullets, and the other barrel is loaded with nothing.
Loaded with nothing? Why is that?
Well, the loaded one's for shooting ducks, and the unloaded one is for not shooting innocent bystanders.
Oh.
Say, Archie, how about that steak for the Colonel?
Oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me. I say, Colonel, we got a steak here we've been saving especially for you.
Archie, now you're talking. After that duck hunt, I could eat a horse.
Colonel, you have place and order. Nick, that saddle steak for Colonel Stoopnagel.
Want me to ride it in, boys?
No, just slap it on the rump and hold the kitchen door open. It'll walk in. Oh, good evening, Officer Clancy. What'll it be, the usual absence frappe?
Never mind that. Who belongs to the blue sedan parked outside next to the fire hydrant?
Well, what's wrong with that? It's my own fire hydrant.
Now, listen to you.
Now, you listen, Clancy. You're supposed to be a friend of Duffy's. Why do you always come in here annoying a customer?
You listen here, Archie, and don't be giving me no back talk. You keep your customers obeying the law, or I'll close you up.
Well, you can't close us up. We ain't got a license.
Yeah, but I know. Well, don't let it happen again.
Okay, Clancy. Holy smoke, Colonel. If he ever finds out we really got a license, we're going to be in trouble.
Well, don't worry, Archie. I've got a pull with the mayor. I can arrange to have your license revoked.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much, Miss Nathan.
Oh, nothing at all.
Say, Archie.
Yes, Colonel.
Could I interest you in this thing here that I've just invented?
Well, what is it, Colonel? To me, it looks just like a door.
A door it is. It's a bathroom door that you don't have to wait outside of.
You don't have to wait outside. Well, why is that, Colonel?
Because it opens into a closet.
Gosh, Colonel, you sure have got a furtive mind. I'll bet you'd have a million suggestions how to improve this place.
Well, I have one idea you might use, Archie. I've just invented a brand new drink. It's made by brewing malt and yeast and hops together, and the result is a tangy, golden liquid with a frothy head on it.
But, Colonel, we got that here. That's beer.
That's odd. That's what I call mine.
Now, wait a minute, Colonel. Beer was invented more than 2,000 years ago.
Really? It seems like only yesterday.
Say, Colonel, have you ever invented, ever tried your hand at inventing an Irish tenor?
Why?
Well, Duffy says either I either get an Irish tenor or I'm fired.
My boy, never despair. I, Colonel Lemuel Q. Stoopnagel, am an Irish tenor.
A reaper. We're saved. Oh, but wait a minute. Duffy only likes Irish tenors.
Ah, sure, me old mother was a Quinn of the Quinns of County Down. Ah, she was indeed. Indeed, she was. Ah. How well I remember me mother and I.
Colonel.
Over in the cold.
Hey, Colonel.
Now, floor walker.
Hey, Colonel, can you sing with a kind of a catch in your voice, maybe?
Listen, Archie, when you hear me sing my wild Irish rose, you'll hear the lakes of Killarney. You'll hear the Shannon River flowing softly down to the sea. You'll hear the lilt of Irish laughter, the salt of Irish tears, the beat of brave Irish hearts, and the wail of the Irish banshee. Oh, she was indeed. Indeed, she was. Ah. Hear what I mean, Archie?
Yeah, that's just what I'm afraid of. If it ain't done right, Duffy will be on that phone quicker than Jack Robinson and tear the roof off me.
Ah, don't worry about a thing, Archie. This would be magnificent. To the pipe, Mr. Kirby. My wild Irish rose.
Colonel, I think you better stop.
You may look at...
Hello? This is Finnegan's Pharmacy. This is Finnegan, the pharmacist, speaking. All right, Duffy, don't get so excited. All right, well, he stopped, didn't he? What? Oh, Duffy. Well, that ain't possible. No, Duffy, it is not possible. All right.
Hey, what was that, Archie?
Nothing. We had a request, that's all.
Well, I... always glad to oblige. What was the request?
Never mind. You couldn't do it.
Say, Archie. Say, Archie.
Yeah?
Look who just came in. You know Larry Adler, the harmonica player.
Why, sure. How are you, Mr. Adler? Glad to see you.
Hello, Archie. Nice seeing you again.
Say, Archie, you know Larry Adler happens to be the finest harmonica player in the world. You think Duffy would like a sample of his talent?
That Duffy don't want guys with talent. He wants Irish tenors.
Well, Archie, if it'll help at all, I know a million Irish tunes. Ah.
Mr. Do you know Danny Boy? Duffy always liked that one.
Ah, sure, me boy. Oh, I know it well.
Okay. Well, let's take a chance on Mr. Rattler. But, Mr. Allen, when you announce him, you know, there's no use confusing Duffy about the man's name. You know what I mean.
I get it. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Boy, played on the harmonica by the world's greatest harmonica virtuoso, Larry O'Adler.
wonder if that could be Duffy.
Hello? You liked him? You really did, huh, Duffy?
Oh, well, that's swell. Sure you can hear him on record.
Yeah, you're right, Duffy. Nothing like an Irish harmonica player.
What? Buy a drink for the house. Are you sure this is Duffy?
Well, all right, Duffy, that's fine. Okay. Folks, Duffy's buying a drink for everybody.
Did you hear that, Nick?
I heard it, but I don't believe it.
Well, it's true. And by the way, Nick, Duffy says to close up the free lunch until the thing blows over.
Yeah, boss. That's more like Duffy. Here you are, folks. Drink hearty. It's on Duffy.
Well, you can quote me as being astounded. Ah!
Hey, don't often get Duffy in such a monogamous mood.
Well, here goes.
Needle beer. Seems like old times. Which reminds me, Archie, whatever became of your old friend, Two-Top Gruskin?
Two-Top Gruskin? What is it?
It isn't an it. It's a guy. He's a two-headed baseball pitcher. He can watch first base and third base at the same time.
You say he had two heads?
Certainly had two heads, Miss Neeson. What's so strange about Two-Top having two heads?
Oh, there's nothing strange about it. But Two-Top Gruskin.
Well, his real name is Athos and Porthos Gruskin. They nicknamed him Two-Top, I suppose, on account of him having two heads.
Very original.
Yeah, what did become of Two-Top?
Oh, he got married.
Happily?
Well, as he always shakes his head when you ask him, is he happily married? Yes and no.
Well, why is that, Archie?
Well, it all started the night that Two-Top's wife, whose maiden name was Nee Inez Harrigan, before she was married, the night that she met Two-Top at the dollar beer rack at Masquerade Ball down here at Duffy's Barn Grill. You know, the old place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Duffy announces that the first prize for the best masquerade costume is going to be a free drink on the house, which, as you know, is a very rare offer from Duffy, outside of on St. Patrick's Day. Whatsoever, let's not digress. The masquerade gets rolling in this terrific competition for the free drink when all of a sudden in comes the big piece of resistance himself. He comes in. Two-Top Gruskin himself. He comes as a pair of bookends.
As a pair of bookends?
Yeah, with a book between his two heads, a book his mother gave him. A little book his mother gave him called My Son, My Son.
I get it, boss. I get it. She knew him like a book, eh, boss?
That's good, Nick.
But let's not have no more of that. Well, anyway, when midnight comes, the judges give the first prize to the bookends. And when he takes off his mask, everybody is amazed to see that the winner is Two-Top. That's how he met Inez. When he takes his mask off, she gives him a quick glance, and then she turns around again and gives him another glance to confirm the first glance. And right away, it was love at first sight. And she says to me later, I don't know, Archie, there was just something different about him. Says, I guess it's that he was so tall, blonde, and brunette. Two-Top falls for Inez, too, and it ain't 10 minutes before he's playing I Love You Truly on a harmonica and kissing her at the same time. Finally he proposes marriage to her.
Bigamy, huh?
Yeah. So Inez says, okay, Two-Top, after all, twice a loaf is better than none. Hello, Duffy. You changed your mind. You've been thinking it over and you don't like old Adler. But Duffy, no, you can't take back free drinks after people have drank the drinks. No, it's neither practical nor ethical. But listen, Duffy, will you forget Chauncey Alcott? In the middle of a story. Yeah, I'll call you back later. That's Duffy, no restraint. Well, anyway, as I was saying, Two-Top is so happy about Inez marrying him that he quick goes over to the bar to celebrate. So Duffy puts first prize to drink on a house down in front of him. But Harold, the bartender, says, don't you think it's pretty cheap, Duffy, giving a two-headed guy just one drink? So Duffy says, okay, I'll be a sport. I'll give the other head the chaser.
Sounds a bit parsimonious, Archie.
Oh, yes. Well, fella. Well, Two-Top takes the drink, see? But it seems he takes it with the head that he inherited from his father's side of the family. And the first thing you know, he can't stop drinking. Well, the head that's drinking the chaser tries to control him, but it's no use. So finally, the sober head winks at Duffy and says, better slip my Mickey, Duffy. Well, then the trouble really starts. Duffy, who's a little nearsighted, makes a mistake, and he puts the Mickey into the chaser. Well, in no time, both the two tops' heads is out like life. Well, with this, Inez gets mad, and she hollers, you're drunk. So as one man, two-top comes two, or rather, he comes four, and he says, who's drunk? So she says, you are. You on the left. Says, come on, Porthos, I'll marry you, but I never want to see that other face again. And that's why, Colonel, to this day, if you ask two-top, is he a happy married man, he always nods one head yes and shakes the other head no.
Archie, that's a wonderful story. You're a natural-born raconteur.
Thanks, I think. But I'll be a natural-born corpse if I don't get an Irish tenor for Duffy.
Say, Archie.
Oh, are you here again, Clancy?
Yes, it's the last time I tell you to get that car away from the fire hydrant.
Oh, Clancy, don't... Clancy, do you by any chance know any Irish tenors?
Sure, and I'm an Irish tenor myself.
Clancy. Clancy Olcott.
What's that, Miss Neeson?
Clancy Olcott. If you can make an O'Adler out of an Adler, why can't Clancy be Clancy Olcott?
But Olcott's dead.
Does Duffy know that?
Well, probably not. He still insists that John L. Sullivan is the heavyweight champion of the world.
You see what I mean, Archie?
You're a reaper, Miss Neeson. I think you've given me the mucus of an idea. Clancy, do you know when Irish eyes are smiling?
Certainly.
Well, what are we waiting for? Give me that microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, Duffy's Tavern takes great pride and pleasure in presenting, at the exclusive request of Mr. Duffy himself, that celebrated Irish tenor, the Olcott.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all this world seems bright and gay. And when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away.
Hello, Duffy. You liked it, huh? Well, it's about time you heaped an encomium at me. What? Ah, Duffy. What do you know? He's fine. Oh, it's right when he hears an Irish tenor. Ah, now, Duffy, please. Well, stop, Duffy, stop. Of course we all love you, Duffy. Everybody loves you. Ah, the world ain't against it. Oh, for the love of Mike, Duffy, it ain't true. I tell you, we love you like I was our own brother.
That will give you a rough idea of what Duffy's Tavern will be like when and if it reaches the air regularly. Tonight's program, like each forecast show, is intended as a sample broadcast, an illustration of what you may expect of Duffy's Tavern if it eventually becomes a weekly radio feature. If you want to hear more from Archie, from Gertrude Neeson, from John Kirby's orchestra, and from the never audible but always active Duffy himself, write to CBS and tell us so. Your applause will help to make Duffy's Tavern a weekly broadcast feature.
Next week, Forecast will present a full-hour show from Hollywood, a large-scale musical variety program called Of Stars and States. The cast, headed by John Bowles, will include Virginia Vale, Nan Gray, Arthur Q. Bryan, and Governor Leo Daniel of Texas. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have a Duffy's Tavern show from 1943, when the show had really hit its stride. Milton Berle is the guest star. He's starring in New York in a new theater production of the Ziegfeld Follies. You will love Shirley Booth pretending to be a French showgirl to impress him. Even though she and Ed Gardner had divorced, she continued to perform in the show through 1943. This is Duffy's Tavern, guest starring Milton Berle, first broadcast January 5th, 1943, on the Blue Network. This is an Armed Forces Radio rebroadcast, so there will be big band music at the end of the show in place of commercials.
The Special Service Division invites you soldiers, sailors, and Marines of the United Nations to drop in at Duffy's Tavern.
Hello? Duffy's where do you late meat to eat? Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Duffy, you know who's coming down here tonight? Milton Berle. Yeah, the star of the new Ziegfeld Follies. What? Has he got nice legs? Duffy, please, you remember Milton, the kid that used to steal the joke books? Yeah, then say that he made up the jokes himself? Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, Milton... Duffy, with you, everybody's a bum. Well, Duffy, why don't you be more like me? You know, the New Year's resolution I made? What? Stop stealing from the cash register? No, Duffy, I resolved that I will help my fellow man. Be he mineral, vegetable, or even you, Duffy. Goodbye. See now,
Well, what's that sign you're writing, Miss Archer? Welcome sign for Milton Berle?
No, it's a resolution, Eddie. One of them New Year's sayings. You know, sort of a proverb. Listen to it. There is a well-known golden rule. Through the ages, it's been true. Always be good to your neighbor. He may live next door to you. That's good, huh?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense, too. How about hanging up a sign for the waiter? Me.
Like what, Eddie?
Well, like this. The golden rule has a fine intent, but a 10-cent tip will pay the rent.
Money. Eddie, don't you know that there's some things in life that money can't buy?
You give me the money, I'll do the shopping.
Hello, Finnegan. Hey, Finnegan, you know who's coming down here tonight? Milton Berle, the star of Ziegfeld Follies.
Oh, boy, the Ziegfeld Follies. What's that?
Finnegan, that's a show, you know, with a lot of beautiful dames, them chorus girls dressed up in nothing but, you know what I mean, Finnegan?
And they call it the Follies? What foolish about that?
Finnegan, they don't call it the Follies because it's foolish. They call it the Follies because people laughed at Ziegfeld, you know, when he first put the thing on. You know, like the first time they opened that fish market. They called it Fulton's Folly.
Oh, I see. Then, Arch, why don't they call it Ziegfeld's Fish Market?
Well, Finnegan, it is a very strange quirk of human nature that when a guy pays $4.40 for a seat, he'd rather see a dame than a fish.
Oh, I see.
Hello, Archie.
Hello, Miss Duffy. How are you? My, you look charming tonight.
I do, don't I?
Miss Duffy, I didn't mean it. It was just part of me resolution to be nice to people.
Oh, you don't have to apologize. I know I look attractive tonight. A woman always knows when she's more attractive than usual.
How?
Fellas whistle at her on the street.
I see. Well, how come you're all duped out? Is there something special?
Oh, certainly. Ain't Milton Berle coming here tonight?
Yeah.
Well, ain't it possible he can get me in the Follies?
No, it ain't.
Why not?
Because the Follies has got all the stage hands they need.
I don't want to be a stage hand. I want to act. I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to recite.
What's Berle going to do, sell cold drinks in the lobby? You and the Follies. Oh, that killed me.
Oh, yeah? What's so funny about it? Wasn't I the star of the 10 Jolly Girls AC Military Review and War Bond Pageant Folly?
That sounds like the greatest military reverse of the year.
Oh, yeah? Well, it just so happens I was the hit of the pageant. Why, when I walked down the stage and said, "I am Miss G. The boys need me." Gee, I was so good the audience stood up and shouted, "Send us to Africa." So now why couldn't Milton Berle
have... Now, wait a minute, Miss Duffy. The Follies is different. It ain't for a girl like you. In the Follies, you kind of walk up and down on the stage in a bathing suit. You know, 1,000 guys is leering at you, making unkempt remarks. No, giving you the once-over, making you feel uncomfortable.
So what? I do it all summer for nothing at Coney Island. I feel very comfortable.
Please, Miss Duffy, don't ask me to ask Burl about a thing like this, huh?
Well, Archie, what about that resolution of yours? Help your fellow human being.
That's right. I'm helping Burl. He's a human being, too. I think, Miss Duffy, I've been thinking it over, and I think I got it. The way I can get your job in the Follies.
How?
I will change you into a different woman. I'll turn you from night into day. I will be Frankenstein, and you will be my monster.
Well, what are you going to do to me?
You, Miss Duffy, are going to be a glamorous French singer.
But I can't speak French.
So what? You can't sing, neither. I will make you a glamorous star with boyfriends by the galore. We'll get Seymour and Finnegan to help us, and you'll be... Wait a minute. Hey, Bud, what are you snooping around for?
I'm Clark Dennis. I sing here.
So what? So who's stopping you? Ladies and gentlemen, Clark Dennis, a terrific singer. Good enough for you, Bud?
Good enough.
Okay. Come here, Miss Duffy. I want to talk to you a minute. Here's what I want you to do.
As long as you're not in love with somebody else, why don't you fall in love with me? You're driving me crazy, baby, trying to guess. Will you tell me no or will you tell me yes? You gotta go overboard for someone someday. Believe it or not, it's bound to be. As long as you're not in love with anyone else, why don't you fall in love with me? You got me crazy, baby, trying to guess. Will you tell me no or will you tell me yes? You gotta go overboard for someone someday. Believe it or not, it's bound to be. As long as you're not in love with anyone else, why don't you fall in love with me, baby? Why don't you fall in love with me?
Dennis, if you was prettier, I might get you into the Follies, too.
Announcing the arrival of Mr. Milton Berle of New York, Hollywood, and Lowe's State.
Thank you. Thank you, my good man. Thank you. Thank you. Here's something for your trouble.
That's for my trouble. This is a nickel. I got more trouble than that. Wait a minute. This is a lead nickel.
Oh, how cheap of me. Here's a lead quarter.
Well, Milton, how are you? You're looking as fine as a fit battle. You look great.
Oh, well, it's very, very easy these days, Archie, to fool people. A shave, a haircut. Say, Archie, you're looking pretty fit yourself.
Well, I lead a very healthy life, you know. Plenty of exercise.
Yeah?
Get me daily dozen every day. 12 games of pool.
Pool rooms, my good man. What do you do for fresh air?
I play with the window open.
Archie, Archie, that is not enough. You know that health is the most important thing in life. Now look at me. Strong, sturdy, full of vigor. Yes, sir, out in Hollywood, I go horseback riding, play golf every day. Then to the mountains, skiing in a bathing suit, the icy wind circulating through my blood.
Milton, what are you coughing about?
I came out without my rubbers. But, Archie, I've got great resistance. It'll go away in about 4 months.
Oh, that's too bad. Milton, I understand...
Too bad, did you say so?
You know, Milton, it's a funny coincidence. I seen your last picture, and I don't know, somehow or other, I suddenly got a hunch you'd be back in New York soon.
My dear boy, do you know that the Schuberts had a terrible time getting me to leave Hollywood? You didn't know that, did you?
No.
They sent me telegram after telegram, wire after wire, and I ignored them. Finally, they sent me a paid wire, and I opened it. It said, Burl, come back to the legitimate theater, and I laughed. Then it said, we want you for our new musical, and I sneered. Then it said, we want you to star in The Follies with 50 beautiful girls. So here I am.
50 beautiful names?
Yes.
What are they paying you, Milton?
Who cares?
Same old Milton, a pushover for feminine punkitude. By the way, Milton, I wonder if I could get a girl in The Follies.
Why, sure, Archie. I'll be glad to get you one. There's lots of them.
No, Milton, this is a dame I want you to put into The Follies.
Oh, into The Follies. Mm. Oh, I see.
A beautiful French dame, you know? The biggest star in Paris. The toast of the Thames.
Thames? Archie, if you're thinking of that river in Paris, the word is Thames.
That's the French pronunciation. Anyways, Milton.
Yes?
When this dame sings them French love songs, you know, like Mademoiselle from Armentières, it brings lumps to your eyes. But why should I stand here talking? I'll have you meet her. Monsieur. Monsieur.
Yay?
Mr. Boyle, I want you to meet that glamorous French star, Monsieur Fifi La Dauphine.
Ooh, la la, mon chéri.
Tinky, tinky, parlez-vous.
Oh, you speak French?
Do I? Now, say, wait a minute, Archie. I was down here 2 years ago, and the girl punching the cash register looked an awful lot like Fifi here.
You did, huh?
Yes.
Probably a case of reincarnation.
Fifi, haven't I seen you before?
Possibly, in France.
What did you do in France?
Oh, I studied in the singing school.
What singing school?
The 10 Jolly Girls AC.
AC?
Yeah, that's French. Academy.
Now, tell me, my little moron glacé. What could you do in the Ziegfeld Follies?
Oh, I zing.
You zing?
Yes, I zing, I dance, I recite.
What, no train zeal?
Now, Milton, wait till you hear this dame sing. You'll see why she aroused the rage of Paris. Milton, she's got millions of guys chasing her, offering her a king's transom. Jewels. A diamond tiara.
A what?
A tiara.
What about a boumdier?
That too. Nothing is too good for this dame. Now, Milton, to piece the resistance. You are about to hear the greatest living French entertainer of her nationality, dead or alive.
Can I take my choice?
Milton, listen to her first. Mr. Van Steeden, drum roll, please. Thank you. Ladies and gendarmes, we now introduce the darling of Mosemont, the wickedest woman in Paris, Monsieur Fifi La Duffy. Proceed ahead, Pete Tight One.
Ah, merci, merci, messieurs and seigneurs. And to you, dear Mr. Boyle, I throw the kiss.
Lucky for me, I can't catch.
First, I will ask for you a scene from one of my biggest pumps, L'amour toujours au dur.
Au dur.
When the scene opens, I, Marie Bully Bass, am talking to my sweetheart, Pierre. Ah, Pierre. Pierre, I love you. I love you so much, I hate you. And other times I hate you so much, I love you. I love you, you fool. Don't touch me. Go away, I adore you. Come back. No, I despise you, you fool. I despise you and love you and despise you. Kiss me.
This sounds like the foreign version of Tobacco Road.
Pierre, why do you spurn me? Why are you so cold? Can it be that somewhere you have another woman waiting for you?
Well, if he hasn't, he's nuts.
Ah, oh, Pierre, you have another woman. But I will have the revenge. From this you will not escape. From this you will die.
From this we can all die, you know that. Now, look, Archie, I've heard enough. Will you tell her? What is this now?
A wonderful to see you again. You remember me, Jacques Simard?
Yes, oui.
Who is this walking mattress here?
He's just another one of Fifi's countless admirers.
Oh, I see.
Ah, Fifi, tell me you love me. Tell me that you will become my wife and live in my 78-room mansion with 14 servants.
What, Fifi La Duffy in 78 rooms? You want me to live in a shack? Jack?
Shack, Jack. I'll be back, whack.
Wait a minute.
Fifi, if you do not love me, life has no meaning for me. Farewell, Fifi La Duffy. I kill myself.
Oh, another day, another suicide.
She's certainly a killer, ain't she, Milton?
Yeah.
Eddie, remove that plump cadaver.
Okay, Miss Archie. Let's go, corpse.
Now, listen, Archie, I've heard enough. Besides, I've really got to run along now.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Oh, I have to leave.
But give the dame a chance. You can't judge a book just by reading it. Wait till you hear her next speciality. Go ahead, Monsieur.
Thank you. I would like to present now a few impersonations.
You'll love this, Milton.
Yeah.
This is where she rises to her depths of greatness.
Ah, thank you. For my first impersonation, I give you the great French actor, my oh-so-dear friend, Charlie Boyer.
Whatever happened to Ben Turpin?
In this impersonation, Charlie is talking to Hedy Lamarr in Algiers. You are beautiful, Hedy. I love you, Hedy. We will elope, Hedy. At midnight, Hedy. Be ready, Hedy.
Oh. Be ready, Hedy. I should have stood in beddy.
Worse.
Oh, fine. Who is this character here?
I am another one of Monsieur Duffy's lovers.
This dame must have an ex-card on lovers.
Bonjour, Fifi. Do you remember me, Monsieur Finnegan?
Ah, Finnegan!
Jerry, I have for you a gift.
A gift? Ooh la la! Give me the gift.
Look at that, Milton. A diamond and emerald-studded whistling tea kettle.
A tea kettle, take it away, Finnegan. I do not like tea.
Marry me, and I fill it with coffee.
Marry you? Never.
Never? Then I kill myself.
Oh, another day, another suicide.
Listen, what's par for this course?
Milton, this goes on all the time. Guys kill themselves like that. This dame's a second Bluebeard.
What was that? What happened?
Another guy outside. He didn't even bother to come in. Now, where was we,
My zong.
Yeah, her zong, her zong. Now it goes from murder to massacre.
The title of the zong is Parlez-moi de Mou.
Parlez-moi de Mou. That will build you up from obscurity to oblivion.
Parlez-moi de Mou. The words I am longing to hear. Parlez-moi de Mou. Repeat them again, I implore.
You ever hear anything like it, Milton?
No, not since my sister backed into a hot stove. Excuse me.
Parlez-moi de Mou and whisper these words to me.
Great, ain't it?
Yeah, she sounds like an all-clear signal.
There you are, Milton. What is your verdict?
My verdict? She's guilty.
Should never have made them resolutions. Excuse me, Milton, will you? A minute. Miss Duffy. Milton just heard you sing.
Yay?
Yes. There's only one way for you to get into the Follies.
Ow.
Ow. You gotta play up to the guy. Give him a kiss.
Ow!
Ah, Mr. Boyle!
Oh, la la!
Oh, you are so beautiful, so handsome. In France, we have the old French saying, faces like yours are fashioned by the angels.
Faces, but not the nose. The nose was made to order.
Ah, Milton, do not joke with me. I love you. I will love you always. Never will I leave your side. Never will I stop kissing you.
Never.
Never!
Milton, holy cat!
Ho-hum, another day, another suicide.
Now before we leave Duffy's Tavern, leave us put a couple of nickels in Duffy's jukebox. Duffy's jukebox, where the feet meet the beat. The platter's spinning, the needle's in the groove, and here's the first number coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Duffy's Tavern was rebroadcast especially for you men and women in the Armed Forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.
To the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.